Masechet Baba Mesia, Daf Chaf Dalid. The Mishnah said, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar taught that on Puria vessels, if you find it, you do not have to proclaim it. You can keep it for yourself. What does this mean, on Puria? My on Puria, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kelim Hadashim, Shelo Seba'atan Ha'ayin. We're talking about new vessels that the owner hasn't gotten used to seeing yet. Lisboa, like to be full, like if you eat too, you know, eat enough, then you're full. So now we're talking about the eye taking it in for long enough to be very familiar with it. If you get a new thing, a new car or a new scooter or whatever, and it looks the same as all the other cars, and you don't know, oh, is that mine? Is that mine? Until after a few days or a few weeks, then you get to know even the very subtle things that make your car look different from all others that are the same model and the same color, right? You get to know it by seeing it a lot. So once you get to know it, then you can identify it. But if it's new and you're like, I don't know, I just got this this item and I can't really tell it apart from others that are similar. That's what the Klean Poria is. And because a person doesn't recognize it, therefore, someone who finds it can keep it. Now we ask, Kechidame, Iid behusiman ki lo sabatana ayin mahave. Iid delet behusiman ki sabatana ayin mahave. Now we're asking, wait, what's the case? Does it have a distinguishing mark? Maybe it has an actual sign or something, a license plate that says it's yours, or something in the window, right, of your car. Well, in that case, so what if you're not used to the look of it? There's a distinguishing mark. You could say, I have this thing in the window. And if there's no siman, then what's the difference if you're used to seeing it? If you can't say to someone else an identifying marker, then you can't get it back. And then there's no point in the finder announcing it, right? So it's because the person says, well, I don't know, I can't give you a distinguishing marker, but I'll know it when I see it because I've seen it a lot. That's not enough to return an item. So what does this mean that that one is used to seeing it? Either it has a siman or it doesn't have a siman that you can give to someone to retrieve the object. And the answer is lo'olam delet behu siman. Nafka mina la'adur el suban abanad betibut ayna. In fact, if it has a distinguishing mark, then, and you find it, you see, oh, look, there's a sign here. There's something special about this item. Then you're going to have to announce it and give it back to anyone who can say that sign. Rather, this statement of here, of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, in the explanation of Shemuel, is talking about a thing that does not have a distinguishing mark, and therefore, you would not return it to someone. You can keep it for yourself, normally. Unless the only difference would be if it's a Subar Baranan, a Torah scholar that can be trusted to be honest, and he won't have a siman. But if he comes up and says, listen, I lost this item, I don't have a special distinguishing mark, but if you show it to me, I'll be able to tell whether that's mine or not, because I've already owned it for a few weeks and I can I know it. I can recognize it. If that's the case, if it's a Torah scholar, even though it doesn't have a siman, but he owns it for a long time and can recognize it, then you have to return it to him. However, if it's a new item that hasn't been used, you can tell. You can see, you find a bowl or something, and it still has the tag on it. They haven't used it yet. Then that means that even if it belongs to a sage, they're not even going to recognize it because they haven't used it much. Okay, sebatana ayin kim le begavaihu mahadirinan le. So if it's a Torah scholar and he sees it and says, yes, I recognize it, I've been using it for a while, we return it to him. But even a Torah scholar, if he has not used it and will not recognize it, then we do not return it to him because he doesn't really know that it's his. Now we have a general statement about when it's appropriate to lie. Not lie, just change your statement, veer from the truth. B'masechet u'bepuria, for a Torah scholar, if you ask them, what masechet are you learning? Or do you know this masechet? Have you learned masechet Shabbat? And even if he knows masechet Shabbat, he can lie and say, no, I don't know it so well. Out of humility, either out of humility, or it could be that maybe he is learning Shabbat and he knows it well, but he doesn't want to get bogged down of people asking him 100 questions. He wants to concentrate on his studies, so that's permitted for him to say, "Nah, I don't know that so well." Or puria is a bed. If someone asks, "Did you sleep in this here bed?" he could say, "Nah, I wasn't sleeping in that bed last night." Why? Because it could be that there'll be shichbat zera on the bed, and then he's asking, "Are you in this bed?" And be embarrassing versus, "Yeah, I slept in that bed. Oh, is this your stain here?" Embarrassing. He could say, "No, I didn't sleep in that bed. I slept somewhere else." Ube ushpiza. And regarding a host, let's say a Torah scholar was hosted by someone for Shabbat. He went there for a meal. He says, "Oh, how was the meal over there?" If he says, "It was fantastic, the best food ever, it was unbelievable," then everybody's going to go and bother that host and say, "Oh, can we come over also?" And so therefore, he's allowed to say, "Yeah, I stayed at this person's house for Shabbat. How are the accommodations?" "It was okay. You know, the food was just okay. The bed was... a little uncomfortable." So he can change from the truth in order to protect the host from being inundated with too many requests for other guests to come over. Now, my nafkamina, why did we have to learn these things? Hakam Shmuel said a Torah scholar can veer from the truth on these three matters. What's the practical effect besides knowing that you can veer from the truth in those three things? To return to him a lost item if he recognizes it. In other words, even if he veers from the truth about these three items, he's still considered honest. It's permitted, it's fine to veer from the truth in these three items, and he still be considered trustworthy, such that if he had lost an item that he recognizes but has no siman, you would give it to him. But if he lies about other things besides that, then he, even if he's a Torah scholar, he's not trustworthy. He's not doesn't live up to the name of a true Torah scholar that you would return other things to him. If we know that he only veers from the truth in these three things, he can be returned the item that he recognizes. But if not. Mozutra chasida ignible kasa de chaspa meushpiza. And now we have a story that shows this principle. Mozutra chasida, when it says mor, that means he is or is related to the Resh Galuta, the exilarch. So this is he's a very wealthy person. And one time he hosted someone. And while he was hosting some people, a silver goblet was stolen. And he didn't know who it was. Chazya lahu bar be'erav de mashay yadeh ve'nagib be'gilima de habreh. But then Mozutra saw one of the Torah students there. He washed his hands. He dried his hands on the cloak of someone else without asking permission, right? Maybe they had different some clothing that they were staying there, and the clothing was hung up there. And so he washes his hands. He dries it on someone else's garment. Amad haynu hay delaich patle amamona de habre kefate veodi. Mozutra said, he was a good detective. Says that's got to be the person who stole the golden goblet, because you see how he doesn't care about the property of someone else, even though it's just drying his hands, and maybe he'll justify to himself, "Okay, I'm just drying my hands and making it a little wet, and then it'll dry. Well, what's the big deal?" Okay, but it shows that he's insensitive. You have to get permission. Maybe the person doesn't want you to dry your hands on there. If you could be so insensitive, not care about someone else's private property to dry your hands on it, even though it's a small thing, then that's the type of personality that can also steal something. And so Mozutra bound him up and threatened lashes until he confessed, "Yes, I'm the one that did it." And so he caught the thief. The point is that if someone is willing to lie in besides these three things, if they're willing to lie in other things, then they might be willing to also steal an item and say, "Oh yeah, I recognize that. That's mine," even though it's not his. Honest people are generally honest all around, even but whether it be big things or small things. And dishonest people, unfortunately, they cut corners on small things, and then they steal big things too. Tanya, Modeh Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar b'chelim hadashim shesibatan ha'ayin shechayav lehachriz. This baraita is a corollary of the Mishnah. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, if you have new items that you don't recognize, then you can keep it for yourself. And here, so Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's point here is that if you have new items, that's true, they're new, but already the owner recognizes them, then you have to announce them. Ve'eluhen kelim hadashim shelo sebatan ha'ayin, she'eno chayav lachriz. And the following are new vessels where the eye does not recognize them so fast, and therefore you're allowed to keep them. In other words, there are some new vessels that you don't recognize right away, and there are sometimes there are new vessels that, even though they're new, you're able to recognize them after just seeing them for a short time. So there's different types of new vessels. So here, these are the ones that, unless that you can keep because they're hard to recognize immediately. Kegon batei mehatin v'sinoriyot macharazot shel kardumot. For example, these branches or sticks that you use to hold needles or for utensils for spinning. If you have a lot of little small needles of different sizes, so this would be like a hook or a stick that you'd put the needles on to hold so that when you need them, they'll be available. This branch or this stick, if it's new, it's hard to recognize. It takes a while for people to figure out, you know, to recognize, oh yeah, that's my needle holder stick. Also, strings for axes, a string to hold maybe some little axes that would be used as tools, and the string that holds them, this again is an item that when it's new, people don't recognize it. It takes a long time for people to say, yeah, that's my string axe holder. Kol elu she'amru ematai mutarim bizman she'mesa'an echad echad ava mesan she'naim she'naim chayav la'chriz. And in all these cases where we say the finder can keep it, that's only if the finder found just one of these items, one branch needle holder. But if he found two or more, then he can say, he can identify it by the number, right? I lost two of them, I lost four of them. Then in that case, if you see that someone lost two of them, then you have to announce it because they will be able to identify it by the number, even if it's new and they wouldn't recognize it as, oh, that's mine, but they will recognize it by the number, which is a siman. My badeh shoche. We mentioned the word badeh, this branch. What is it? It means a branch that holds needles. V'amai karu le badeh. Why do you call it that? Dabar de talui be midi bad karu le. It's called that because anything that holds something else is called a bad. Just like a branch holds leaves, so too this item is not actually a branch, but rather it's some kind of hook or a stick, but it holds needles, so we call it a branch. Kehud itnan hatam ale echad bebad echad. As we say in a Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah, that one leaf on one branch, talking about the hadasim and aravot, so that's actually leaves on a branch, and so this is used here by analogy. So now we're continuing the braita of more things that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said. Hamasil min ha'ari u'min hadov u'min hanamer u'min habardelas u'min zuto shel yam u'mishelulito shel nahar hamoseh besratya uflatya gedola. If someone saves an item, rescues an item from a lion or a bear or a cheetah, different opinions about what bardelas is. Here's some cheetahs, here's a polecat, right? Whatever it is. So these are dangerous animals that usually if they go and they take your item, most people are going to be, have yeush, forget it, I lost it, right? This animal took my dinner. There's no way I'm getting it back. But if you're brave enough and you're able to scare them away, scare away the bear and retrieve that item, then you can keep it because we assume the owner forgot about it. Or if it got swept up by the tide of the sea or a flooding river and you're able to go and salvage it, then you can keep it. And similarly, if you find something in sratya is the same root as English word, a street, flatya, like a plaza, like palatial, a large area. Here's a big square in Rome, a plaza, right? Most cities, ancient old cities, have these plazas where there's a lot of people walking all the time. If someone loses something in that big area where that has a lot of foot traffic, then the owner is going to assume it's gone. And any place where there are many people, the person who finds it can keep it because we assume that the owner has despaired from it. Good. That is the main halacha. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says he's pretty lenient and says finders keepers as long as it's in a public area. This is going to be the subject of discussion for most of the daf. We're going to ask a series of questions to zero in exactly what did Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar say. Are there any disagreements? Then we're going to bring about three sources to try to answer the questions, and then about five or six stories that relate to this halacha. So here's the questions.
When
Rabbi Shimon says finders keepers in a public domain, is that only when the public domain has mostly non-Jews? But if it's mostly Jews, then you have to return it. The idea would be that if it's mostly non-Jews don't have a law that you have to return things. Roman law doesn't have such a law. So therefore, we can assume that if it's non-Jews, if they find it, they're going to keep it. And that's why the owner, the Jewish owner, or whoever the owner is going to have despair and say, oh, forget about it, right? There's a Roman is going to find this, and then I'm going to lose it. But let's say you're in a town where most people are Jewish, and most people are Jewish, and they follow this halacha, and then they will return it. So then he keeps hope. The owner keeps hope, and therefore you have to announce it. Does Rabbi Shimon say that? Is his leniency only in a place where there's mostly non-Jews? Or does he say, even if it's mostly Jews also, right? Once a person loses something, even though it's mostly Jews, nevertheless, it's so many people, and it's going to be very hard for him to get it back, and he has despair, and therefore finders keepers. Im timse lomar afilu berov Yisrael nameh, amar, peligi rabanan ale, o la peligi. And let's assume that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, yeah, even if it's mostly Jews, he's super lenient and says, finders keepers. Does everybody agree with that? Or maybe the rabbis, the majority opinion, does not agree with him. And if you say that the majority does disagree, so for sure they will disagree when it's mostly Jews, right? And then there Rabbanan will be more machmir. Mostly Jews? Oh, you can expect a Jew to return it. So therefore, the owner will not despair. Therefore, you have to announce it. But berov nochrim peligi or la peligi. But would chachamim disagree when it's a majority non-Jews, and they would say, you know what, you have to return it no matter what, no matter where, even if it's majority Jews or majority non-Jews. Even non-Jews tend to be nice and return things, and therefore the owner does not despair, and the finder has to announce it. Or maybe Rabbanan agree with Bishimon ben Elazar when it comes to non-Jews. The owner will despair, and they only disagree regarding if it's majority Jews. And if you think that Rabbanan disagree across the board and say that one always has to return, announce the item, is halacha follow Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar on both counts or not? And if we say halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, is it on everything? Maybe halacha is like him only when it's majority Jews. Then you can keep it for yourself. But if it's majority Israel, although Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar thinks that you can keep it even then, but maybe halacha doesn't follow him in that case. It could be that the halacha is split down the middle. We follow Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in majority Jews, majority non-Jews, but we follow Rabbanan when it's majority Jews, although they disagree on both counts. All right, so many questions. Let's try to see if we can get some clarification on any of them. Ta Shema, we learn from a Braita. Hamoseh ma'ot v'bate kenesiot v'bate midrashot v'chol makom sh'rabim mesuyin sham, hare elu shelo mipnei sh'ba'alim mityashin mehem. Braita teaches if you find coins in a bet kneset or a bet midrash or anywhere that there's a lot of people, you can keep it because we assume that the owner has despaired from them. He lost some coins in a public space, so he's going to figure, I'm not going to get it back. Man shemat le da azil bataruba, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, shemat mina afilu berov Yisrael nameh. Now, who says that we follow where the multitudes are? In other words, where there's a multitude, then you can keep it. Well, that was Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. He's the one that said that halacha. And here we're talking about Bet Knesset and the Bet Midrash. That's where mostly Jews are. So you see that he says, finders keepers, even if it's a place of majority Jews. See, so we answered one of the questions before. But we reject this proof. No, it could be talking about where they're scattered. That's why you can keep it. If the coins are scattered, there's no siman. So what are you going to announce? Anyone lose some coins? How are they going to identify what it is? Maybe that's why you can keep it in this case. But we reject this rejection because if it's scattered, and you can keep it because it's scattered, then it doesn't have to be in a public space, even if there are not a lot of people there. Even if it's in a little alleyway and it's scattered coins, there's no siman, and therefore you would be allowed to keep it. So that doesn't make sense. Ela la'olam bisrurin. In fact, it must be that they are bound coins, and that would have a siman. I could say, right, this is how many coins were bound up there. This is what the knot looked like that bound them up. But nevertheless, there's no proof from this source that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar would permit finders keepers in a place that's all Jews, because maybe he's talking about a synagogue of non-Jews, meaning like a church or some pagan temple. Maybe that's what it's talking about when it says Bet Knesset. Bet Knesset, after all, just means a house of gathering. It doesn't necessarily mean a house of gathering for Jewish worship. It could be something else. Okay, fine. That would work for Bet Knesset, but Bet Midrashot, Maikale Memar, how are you going to interpret a Bet Midrash? That sounds like a Jewish thing. Bet Midrash, Didan, Teyatvu Behu Nachrim. You're right. Bet Midrash has to mean a Jewish building, but there could be Gentiles that are in the non-Jewish building. Maybe they're there as guards, custodians, whatever. They're hanging out there. And so, since they are there, now it's not mostly non-Jews, it's mostly Jews that come to it, but if it in fact is a guard or custodian, then the non-Jew is there more of the time. They probably might be all there all day, cleaning, setting things up, guarding, and so they are for most of the day. They are, that is the majority, and that's why you can finders keepers, because the person lost it says, oh, it's a non-Jew is there most of the day, and I'm not going to get it back. Now that we have this answer for Bet Midrash, we can use that same answer for Bet Knesset. We don't have to go, this is a difficult interpretation, say Bet Knesset means pagan temples. That's not usually what it means. So we can use the same answer there. It's talking about a Bet Knesset, a Jewish worship, place of worship, but also where there are Gentiles that sit there. And that's why one can keep finders keepers, because it is a public domain, but it could be very well be that it's a place where that's more frequented even by non-Jews for most of the time. And therefore, we did not prove anything from this Braita. Second try from a Mishnah in Masechet Machshirin Tashema. Masaba Aveda, Imrov Yisrael Chayav Lehachriz, Imrov Nochrim Eno Chayav Lehachriz. If you find a lost item, if there's majority Jews, then you have to announce it. And if not, then you don't have to announce it. Who says you follow the majority of the people that are there? That's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So he must be the author of this Mishnah. And therefore we see that you're only allowed to keep it for yourself if it's majority non-Jews. But if it's majority Jews, then not. So now we know that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar limits his permission only to a place of majority non-Jews. No, we say, no, maybe this Mishnah is in fact the opinion of Rabbanan. Tifshot mina demodu le Rabbanan le Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar berov nochrim. Okay, if it is Rabbanan, then we can still answer the questions. One of the questions before was, what do Rabbanan think? And we can figure out that according to Rabbanan, they agree with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar in a place that's mostly non-Jews. So everybody agrees in a place mostly non-Jews, finders, keepers. And they would only disagree in a place that's only Jews, that the Rabbanan would say, you have to return it. And Rabbi Shimon would say, finders, keepers there also. So we answered one of the questions, right? Ela le'olam Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he not necessarily. Could be that this entire Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Va'afil b'dov Yisrael nameh, v'acham eskenan betamun. And even if it's a place that is mostly Jews, you would be able to keep it. In general. But this Mishnah is talking about a very particular case where the item that was found was buried. If it's buried, and I mean someone put it under the ground in a certain spot because he wanted it. And then somehow it got unburied, or a person unburied it, and dug it up and found it. And then he says, well, you can't keep it. If it's a place of mostly Jews, you have to return it. Okay, this is quite a difficult okimta to put in there, but okay, it's possible. But now we ask, ibitamun may abidite gabe. Wait, if it was concealed, if it was dug under something, then what are you doing with it? How did you find it, right? And why would you take it? Vatinan masakeli bashpa mechuse lo yigabo megule no telu machriz. We have a mishnah that says later on in this masechet soon says if you find an item in a garbage dump, people might hide things in a garbage dump sometimes. Garbage dump of scrap stuff, and you put something underneath, and that's safe there because who's looking through it? And then you come back later. So if you happen to be in the garbage dump, and maybe you're putting something there or looking around there, and you find something that was hidden, that was covered over, don't touch it. You should assume that it belongs to someone else. But if it's on top of the garbage dump that's and revealed, exposed, then you can take it. So if it was in fact concealed, then you should not allowed to touch it. Why would you have taken it in the first place? And the answer is, kedamara papa bashpasha. We're talking about a garbage dump that isn't usually cleared. It's the type of garbage dump that just stays there. Maybe it just scraps stuff, it builds up, and is usually there. But the owner of the land decided one day, you know what? I want to clean up this yard here. And he ended up clearing it. And that's why, while he was clearing it, he found this thing. And so now, at that point, it was uncovered because he's moving everything out. And so now that he sees it, what should he do with it? Oh, if it's a place of mostly Jews, then he should announce it and return it. That's what it's talking about. The Papa said that about a different case. We could use that same answer in this case. But this is a special case. Only if you find something that was hidden and it's a place of Jews, then you have to proclaim it. But if it was not hidden, then no matter what, you can finders keepers. So it could be the Bishop of Elazar, and he thinks finders keepers no matter what, in all places, and there is no proof from this Mishnah either. Or yet another answer to this case, Ibayet Emale Olam Rabbanan, Mi katani hen shelo, eno chayav lachriz katane, v'yaniach v'yate Yisrael v'yahe besimana v'shakil. The entire Mishnah could be the opinion of Rabbanan, but Rabbanan generally are more stringent and say you have to return an item. But in this case, does it say, when it's a majority non-Jews, does it say that he can keep it? Doesn't say he can keep it. It just says that he does not have to announce it. Okay, you don't have to announce it, but rather that means you have to leave it with you and wait until a Jew comes and gives a siman, and then he can take it. So in fact, this could be Rabbanan, and Rabbanan thinks that you have to return an item no matter where it is, even if it's found among non-Jews. The only difference is that you don't have to go announce it, but you do have to return it if someone comes and gives a siman. So no proof from there. Tashema, damar rav ase, masa chavit yayin be'ir shiruba nochrim, muteret mishum mesi'a ba'asura ba'hana'a. Very interesting case. Rav ase has a chidush. If someone finds a barrel of wine in a city that's mostly non-Jews, then it's permitted in terms of ownership, right? Because it's mostly non-Jews, so therefore you can assume that the owners will have despaired because no one's going to return it. And nevertheless, because it's a city that's mostly non-Jews, you assume that this wine belonged to a non-Jew, and therefore is yayin nesech, and you cannot have any benefit from it. However, by Yisrael v'natan basiman muteh b'shtia limos'ah. If a Jew then came and gave a distinguishing mark and that says that's his, then look at this. The finder is allowed to keep it, and then he's allowed to drink it too. Why is he allowed to drink it? Because the Jew said it's his and he gave a siman. So now we know it's kosher wine. Yet he can keep it because he was found in a place that was mostly non-Jews, and therefore the owner should have, we assume, despaired. So it's very interesting contradiction that we accept the Jew's siman for one law, but not for the other law. Now let's analyze. Kiman, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, right? Must be that this is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says you follow the majority of the place, and the majority is non-Jews, and that's why you can keep it. Shema minaki, Kiman Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, so we can conclude from this, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar only said his law when it's mostly non-Jews. But if it was mostly Jews, then you would not be able to keep it. And we say not necessarily. No, it could be Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar himself says, even in a place that's mostly Jews, finders keepers. But Rav Aseh, he agreed with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar only in one case where it's mostly non-Jews, but disagreed when it's majority Jews. And that's why Rav Aseh said the statement in this way, in this language, where it's mostly Jews, that's where you can keep it, and only in that case, because that's what he thought the halacha is. That doesn't necessarily reflect what Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar thinks. Now we ask about his first law in general. If it's prohibited in having any benefit from it, then why say that it's his monetarily, right? For what benefit can he have from it? The fact that he found it in places mostly non-Jews, so we can assume finders keepers. What is he going to keep it for if he can't drink it? He can't even sell it. He can't do anything with it. Oh, it's for the container. Yeah, he has to spill out the wine. He can't do anything with it, but he can clean out the container, kosher it, and then he can use it. And now we have a few stories. A person found 4 dinar bound up in a cloth, and it was thrown into the thrown into the Biran River. Someone lost it in the Biran River, and this guy found it. What should we do? You have to return it. Go and announce. Anybody lose something money in the Biran River? But now we ask, why do you have to announce it? This is the classic case of it got thrown into the sea, so the owner should say, oh, it went into the river, forget about it, and despair, then you should be able to keep it. Biran River is not a strong, raging river. It's a slow river, and there's obstacles, and things always get stuck behind rocks or whatever, and so it's easy to salvage things from this river, so therefore the owner will not despair. Wait a second, the Biran River, mostly non-Jews. See, now we can learn an answer to one of our original questions, that halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, and even if it's mostly non-Jews, you have to announce it. No, the Biran River is different. Even though it's mostly non-Jews that live there, Jews happen to be the ones that dam the river and dredge it. They're the ones digging things up, and they would find all the lost items. So the owner knows, well, who's going to dredge it up? Most likely a Jew who works there. And if they find it, then they'll follow the halacha, and they will announce it and return it, so they don't have despair. Since it's Jews that damn it, they'll say, someone who finds it will say, oh, this must be from lost must be dropped by a Jew who dropped it here. And since Jews dredge it up, then they will return it. And so the owner will not despair. So that's why, and we cannot prove anything from that story. Next story, Rav Yudah Vashakel Ve'azil Batre, Demo Shemuel Beshuka Debe Daisa Amale, Masakan Arniki Mahu. Rav Yudah was walking behind Mor Shemuel in the marketplace of where they sell pounded grain. It's a place that's mostly non-Jews. And he asked, theoretically, if someone found a money bag in this marketplace, would he have to return it, proclaim it, or could he keep it? And Shemuel says, you can keep it. Rav Yehuda says, what if a Jew then came and gave a distinguishing mark, right? It was green, it had this much money in it. Then what? Then you have to return it. Now we ask, these seem to be two contradictory rulings on the part of Shemuel. On the one hand, he said you can return it, you can keep it, and then he said if a Jew identifies it, then you have to return it. Well, which one is it? Shemuel explained, oh, the second law I was explaining is beyond the letter of the law. Literally, lifnim means within the line of the law, right? In other words, like a border, you're allowed to go up to this line, but it's a good idea to stop before the line just to make sure. So here also, in English we say beyond the letter of the law, right? This is an extra pious thing to do. Really, you can keep it, but to be extra nice, the guy's there, the Jew's there, and although you have a right to keep it, if he gave a siman, you should give it back to him. While the previous discussion was only theoretical, this actually happened to Shemuel's father, who found some donkeys in the desert, and he returned them to their owner, even after 12 months, a full year that he had, and then the owner that he took it. And since they were found in the middle of nowhere, literally in the desert, in the wilderness, so he had the right to keep it. And he had it for 12 months. But then a Jew came and was able to identify them with a mark. And the father of Shemuel says, oh, then they're yours. And he returned them anyway, even though he didn't have to. Rava hava shakil ve'azil batre de Rav Nachman b'shuka digil da'ev. Amri la b'shuka de Rabbanan. Rava was walking behind Rav Nachman in the tanner's market, or in the market there are some sages there. Amar le masakan arniki mahu. Amar le hareu shelo. And he said, same question. If someone would find a purse here, could he keep it? And he said, yes, he can keep it. Apparently, this is a marketplace frequented by mostly non-Jews. By Yisrael Natan Bat Siman Mahu. But what if a Jew then came and gave a mark? Nevertheless, finders keepers. In other words, he just gave the letter of the law. He's not saying what the pious thing to do is. But the question is, the Jew then is standing there screaming, that's mine, that's my purse, right? I identified it. Right? What about all that? You're just going to ignore him? He says, yeah. This is like someone who's screaming about his house that's collapsing or a ship that's sinking in the sea. Right? He can scream all day long, that's my ship, that's my ship, so all my merchandise is going under. And he's screaming, not because there's any possibility of getting it back, but because he feels so bad. And so this guy would be the same thing, right? Finders keepers, because it was found in the middle of this marketplace, and although he can identify it, he knows it's his, he's like, oh my purse, I can't believe now I lost it all, right? He has no right to it. Of course, it's nice for the finder to be go beyond the letter of the law, but technically he doesn't have to. Hahu dayo de shakil bisra bishuka v'shadye besiniyata debe bar marion. There was a certain kite, like a vulture. Here it is. It goes, it swoops down and takes meat. And it took meat that was in the marketplace. And then it put us among some palm trees of the house of Bar Merion. Someone found it. And he came to Abaye, says, what do I do with this? Can I keep it? Amale azir shekol nafshach. Yes, keep it. What, it was came from the marketplace, from a vulture, the owner is not going to expect to find it. V'hadu bad Yisrael ninhu, shemat mina, l'chak Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, afilu b'dov Yisrael. Wait, but that marketplace is a place that's mostly Jews. So, does that mean that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that finders keepers, even in a place that's mostly Jewish? No, shani dayo dechzuto shel yam dame. No, a kite is different because it's like the tide of the sea, right? When it's not the fact that it came from a Jewish marketplace, that's not why you can find that, why you can keep it, but rather because this wild bird came and took it. So that's it. Most owners would say, oh, that's it. A wild bird took it. I'm never going to find it again. It's like being thrown into the sea. That's why he despairs. Now a different problem altogether. How do you know the meat is kosher? There is a law that Rav says, it's applicable till today. Meat that is obscured from sight is prohibited because you wonder, maybe if it was unsupervised, while it was unsupervised, someone might have came and switched the kosher meat with the non-kosher meat. There's a problem for getting deliveries from a meat restaurant, right? How do you know that the hamburger that they sent is the same hamburger that you receive in your home? That's why they put tons of tape on it that you need a chainsaw to open to make sure they didn't switch it. Okay, but anyway, here we know a bird came and took it, and there's a bird, and then the bird deposited something somewhere else, but maybe he switched it in between. Maybe he ate that meat and then picked up some non-kosher meat. And the answer is no, it's only where the finder is standing and seeing it the whole time. He's standing there, he sees this vulture come down, take the meat, and he sees it in his mouth, and he has his eye on it nonstop. He doesn't take his eye off of it and sees the vulture come and deposit it somewhere else, and then he goes and gets it. That's the case where it's permitted, where you know it's the same meat that came from that kosher butcher. Rabbi Chanina, Masa Gedi Shachut Ben Teberia L'Sipori V'Tiruhu Lo. Rabbi Chanina found a slaughtered goat between Teberia and Sipori. These are the two major centers of rabbinic learning, Jewish cities, but he found this in between. Now, is it permitted? Who did shechita? Is it kosher shechita or not? He asked the rabbis, and the rabbi said it's fine. Amar bi ameh hitiruhu lo mishum mesi'ah k'rabbi Shimon ben Elazar mishum shechita k'rabbi Chananya beno shel Rabbi Yosei haGalili. The Tanya hadesh she'abdu lo gedaya v'tanagolav masa halach masa'an shechutin. Rabbi Yehuda oser Rabbi Chananya beno shel Rabbi Yosei haGalili matir. And Rabbi Ameh explained, why did they permit it to him? Well, there's two issues here. One, regarding the keeping it financially. That's, it's a lost item that he found. Oh, he's following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says you're allowed finders keepers when it's found in some public area. Apparently here, even if it's among Jews. And regarding the Shechita, he can follow Rabbi Chananya, the son of Rabbi Yosef Galili, because we have that there's a Braita with a similar case where someone's young goats or roosters were lost, and the owner went to look for them, and he found them and recognized, yeah, those are mine, and he found them slaughtered. So now you don't know who slaughtered them. Rabbi Yehuda says, no good, it's forbidden. But Rabbi Chananya, the son of Rabbi Yosef Galili, says, you can assume that it was slaughtered properly, and it's permitted. Amar Rabbi, nirin divrei Rabbi Yehuda kishemesan ba'ashpa, v'divrei Rabbi Chananya beno shel Rabbi Yosei haGalili kishemesan ba'bayit. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he's the fifth generation Rabbi Yehuda, the composer of the Mishnah. He says, I agree with Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda Bar Ilai, the fourth generation Tana, mentioned over here. I agree with Rabbi Yehuda that one should be stringent if you find the animal carcass in a garbage dump. The neck was cut, but why was it put in a garbage dump? Must be that there's a problem with it, either that the shechita was not good or it's a terefa, and so that's why it was thrown out in the garbage, and therefore you cannot eat it. But I agree with the opinion of Rabbi Chanina, the son of Rabbi Yosei Galili, when if it was found in a house. If it was found in a house, that means someone did shechita and put it in the house because they're going to eat it. And therefore, we can assume that it was a kosher shechita. Midehi tiruhu lo mishum shechita, rubai Yisrael ninhu. Now, the fact that Rabbi Yosei Galili says, that Rabbi Chanina says it's kosher, must be that it's a place of mostly Jews. Otherwise, how do you know who slaughtered it? How do you know it was a kosher slaughter? So therefore, the only reason why he says that we say the shechita is good and is permitted because it's a place of mostly Jews. Shemat mina halacha k'Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar afilu b'dov Yisrael. And look, right, we said before that you're allowed not only to assume it's kosher, but you're also allowed to keep it. That means that the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, even in a place that's mostly Jews. We proved that's mostly Jews because the shechita is allowed. And nevertheless, you're allowed to keep it, right? So isn't that this a good proof? That halachas b'Shimon, even when it's mostly Jews, Amar Rava, Rov Nochrim, Velob Tabachei Yisrael. Rava says not necessarily. It could be an area that mostly is non-Jews, but most of the butchers, most of the slaughterers are Jews. And therefore, he's allowed to keep it, and he can assume that it's also kosher. But you can't prove from this story necessarily that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar would allow you to keep it, even if it was a place of mostly Jews. No, this place is mostly non-Jews. Rabbi Ame, Ashkach Pargiyot Shechutot ben Tiberia Lesipuri, Ata Lekamed Rabbi Ase, Vamri La Lekamed Rabbi Yochanan, Vamri La Be Midrasha. Rabbi Ame found some slaughtered little birds between Tiberia and Sipori. He didn't know what to do. Are these that they have kosher slaughter or not? So he came to ask Rabbi Ase or Rabbi Yochanan, or some say he just asked in general in the study hall. Vamru le zil shekol nafshach, and they told him you can keep it. So apparently this is an area that was mostly non-Jews, and so therefore he's allowed to keep it. Rabbi Yitzhak napacha ashkach kibura deazle be az luye ata lekamed Rabbi Yochanan amri la. Similarly, Rabbi Yitzchak Napacha found some coils of thread that are used to make nets, and they were just lost there, and he came and asked Rabbi Yochanan, or some say yes in the Bet Midrash, and they told him, yes, you can keep it for yourself, because this was lost in public. Apparently also a place that's mostly non-Jews, and therefore whoever owned it is going to have despair, and that therefore you can keep it. Baruch Adonai Le'olam, Amen v'Amen.